Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 440, A Wampa Winter Wonderland. A lot of W's in that. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, we have the dewback to my Bantha. We have Carl LeClaire.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Carl.
Oh, you know, our podcast is now officially over the hill, as they say. Because she be the big old far out, you know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I think our episode... Oh, man, our series is almost as old as Chris Hothai's Planet Smith. Oh!
Wow!
Oh, okay. Hopefully he doesn't hate me for that. Hi, Chris! But yes... This is so exciting. 40 episodes. Jason and I were just doing the math. That's right. If you carry the one and you add the five and you have your null. I'm doing math. I'm kidding. But we were doing the math, you know.
It's not a math teacher.
Obviously. I do share my room with a math teacher, though, and it's extremely epic.
Theology and math together.
Exactly.
Explosion.
We explain everything. They're like, what did... Why did my girlfriend not like me? Evidently, everyone from Boston sounds like from the South. And I'm like, well, like God would say. And then he's like, well, the equation will tell you. All right, I'm done. So, but anyway, Jason and I are doing the math. 13 and a half months, 40 episodes. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for two fairly active young gentlemen who are extremely handsome and amazing.
You know,
I'm just speaking on Jason's behalf, because if I talked about myself, that'd be cocky. But let's be honest.
Mike Cohen
would totes agree.
Self-description there.
That's right. And then Crystal would be all uppity. Anyway, our good friends, the Cohens from Canada, they know what we're talking about. So anyway, we have a podcast.
They're rolling their eyes at us. But anyways, so today under the Christmas tree, we have a whole lot of little goodies for you. We got a bunch of little things that we're going to run down. We got our matchup. We got some Christmas stuff. We got a year in review, what we want to see. Then maybe a few other little things along the way. But to start us off, let's go ahead and jump into our matchup.
Yeah, let's do it. Boing.
Jump right in.
And the matchup.
Yes. And for those of you that do not remember, last episode, or two episodes ago, excuse me, when we had Ben Kritzman on, he gave us a matchup of Asajj Ventress versus Jaina Solo, which was one that I was very, very interested in. And he sent us a very long and detailed email about his pick, and he gave me the liberty to edit it down, which I will for time in this regard. But he basically gives us a breakdown of the characters, Asajj Ventress, you know, what she's done, her skill set, you know, with the lightsabers, her history of being a Dathomir Nightsister and being a Jedi, and then turning to the dark side through Count Dooku, some of her accomplishments during the Clone Wars, and ends by saying that, you know, even though she was powerful and Sidious ordered Dooku to kill her, she's her fighting style has also been criticized by, especially by Luminara, as being unrefined, amateurish, and sloppy. And then he goes into Jaina Solo, giving much of the same type of information. You know, the fact that she served well during the Yuuzhan Vong War, defeated her brother Jason Solo when he turned to the dark side, was named Sword of the Jedi by Luke. Then wraps everything up by saying that in the end, out of all of these things, Ben would have to choose Jaina Solo. So there we go. And now on to our Facebook. We didn't have any responses from Twitter this time around, but we did get several from Facebook. Christoph Keitzman says, after her training with Fett, Jaina is unstoppable. She's the Sword of the Jedi, after all. She might not be the Jedi Battlemaster that Kyle Katarn is, but then again, Ventress is always considered to be sloppy in terms of her fighting prowess, and if Luminara could best her in battle, and if Ahsoka could take her on, then Jaina could win with ease. Brian V. Klein, as much as I want to pick Asajj in this matchup, I think the Sword of the Jedi would take this evenly matched duel. She has just the right amount of Skywalker and Solo in her. Jaina by a hair. Jason Ariola, I would have to go with Jaina Solo on this. Patrick Kotep, my vote goes to Asajj. Jazz, our buddy from Norway, good to hear from him. Although Jaina is the Sword of the Jedi, what that actually entails seems somewhat unclear. My personal opinion is that she is like Luke, the New Hope. And in so being, she must be one BA Jedi and great wielding the laser sword. I mean, she even bested Darth Cadus, heir to Vader's legacy in more senses than the word of the word than one. That being said, Asajj Ventress is a formidable foe, drawing on the dark side and her raw emotions. Her lightsaber style leaves something to be desired, as it is often described as being sloppy, and she always has problems when going against Anakin. Although this would be one hell of a close fight, and although I'd like to side with Ventress, something about her is so sexy, I will give this one to Jaina. And finally, Bill Thompson. Maybe if she were better trained, I could go with Ventress. But as it stands, not only is Jaina better trained with the lightsaber and the Force, but she's a better strategist. In a hard-fought battle, Jaina would use her smarts to emerge victorious. So, at the moment, we are left with a rather one-sided contest. We have 6-1 in favor of Jaina Solo. Carl, are you going to help even the scales here, or are you going to add a more lopsided matter here?
You know what I'm going to do, Jason?
What are you going to do, Carl?
I'm going to go with Jaina. I was trying to think of something clever to say. I had nothing. But yeah, you know, I think Asajj Ventress is pretty BA, as, you know, some of the responses pointed out. And I think, again, it would be pretty close because, I mean, let's not forget, Asajj Ventress goes up against Anakin and Obi-Wan on a pretty regular basis. And it's not like – this isn't like Padawan Anakin necessarily. I mean, yeah, early in the micro series it is, but, you know, and she's going up against Obi-Wan, who's one of, like, the most premier warriors in the Order. And she always holds her own. Like, granted, she always ends up having to leave and run and, you know, save her neck, because she obviously isn't the better fighter. But she's holding her own against two of the greatest swordsmen in the galaxy. But I think Jaina has the edge of, you know, being part of this new Jedi Order. She's been trained by Luke. She's been trained by Boba Fett. I mean, she's a force to be reckoned with. And while I think I don't think it'd be as close as some of the listeners think. I think that Jaina would be solidly in control of the fight. So yeah, I'm gonna give it to Jaina Solo. But what do you say, Sir Jason?
Well, let's see. Well, one of the things that a lot of our listeners mentioned was that Ventress's fighting style has been considered sloppy, and that was made in the heat of a battle by Luminara. That was a statement made by Luminara in the heat of the battle, which could be true, but could also have been a ploy by Luminara to get under Ventress's skin. You know, sort of a taunt, you know. Oh, I recognize Count Dooku's fighting style, but yours isn't as good, you know. Yours is unrefined, amateurish, and sloppy. You know, I mean, it's a cat fight. Come on, words are going to be said. In another, you know, for Ventress's favor, you know, as Carl said, she has gone up against Anakin and Obi-Wan multiple times and survived. and live to face them again another day. And in season 3 of the Clone Wars, at one point, she had them at her mercy. She was force choking the crap out of them and would have probably killed one of them if the ship didn't start blowing up around her. Don't want to count her out too quickly, but we do have to admit Jaina is trained by Luke, trained by Boba Fett, is both a Skywalker and a Solo. So I'm going to say this is going to be a long, hard fought duel, but in the end, I'm going to have to go, as much as it pains me, I'm going to have to go with the majority here. And go with Jaina. I never go with the majority. I'm always the weird one. But no,
Jason's like, you know what? In this matchup, I'm going to give it to Jar Jar Binks.
I've made the argument for Leia, and several times concerning the Skywalker heritage and how we can't count that out. So I'm going to have to go with my own argument here. And as much as I would love to say that Ventress could win, because I do find her a very interesting and appealing character, I'm going to have to give it to Jaina. So,
good job, Jaina. You did it.
Yes.
The Wampas are named you victorious.
Yes, in an 8-1 SmackDown. And we have a rather humorous matchup for you at the end of this episode.
I am about this one, Jason. You have no idea. I hope I dream about it tonight and every night until we record again, because I would never get sick of that dream. Indeed, it would make my nights. Oh, how did you sleep? In a world of awesome.
Yes. Well, if you listened to last episode, you might have an idea of what this matchup might entail, but we won't tell you until the end of the episode.
Exactly. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, what are you waiting for, dog?
It was so much fun.
It was. It was so much fun. So.
Yes.
Anyway.
But we should move on. It is Christmas.
It is.
In a week from this recording.
Yeah, literally a week from today is Christmas. Oh, crap. I still don't have any presents.
I'm not going to tell you that I've basically finished my Christmas shopping.
I don't have a car, man. It sucks.
Bum ride up a friend. Buy him lunch and say, hey, take me Christmas shopping. Anyways. So we thought we'd give some Christmas memories and sort of some general real quick thoughts on the Star Wars holiday special that probably should not exist.
Ugh.
But
I like the way you even mentioned it. Like, you were disappointed just by mentioning its name.
Star Wars.
I feel like almost every Star Wars fan who has seen this openly agrees on the fact that it stinks. Like, it's terrible.
Yes.
So, but, especially in light of the holiday season and the fact that we are an upbeat, positive podcast, let's talk about what is actually good about it, because there is some really cool stuff in it. And by some really cool stuff, I mean like one really cool segment, which I have a feeling you're probably going to agree with me on. You know, the little cartoon segment where we meet Boba Fett.
Yes.
That's awesome. I thought that was so cool. Boba Fett's voice is so sinister. He's so manipulative. I mean, we get more characterization out of him from this, little comic short than we do in an Empire and Jedi combined, in my opinion, because he's nothing but a side character in Empire. I mean, yeah, he catches Solo, but he's got all of like 6 lines. He has no lines in Jedi and just gets taken out like a noob. So, we get to really see this cool character, Boba Fett, and I think that a lot of fans that, really got into Boba Fett in the early OT era, the people who were alive there in the, late 70s, early 80s, those kids, what they probably really liked about Boba Fett was triggered by that holiday special. Seeing him in that comic and obviously all the hype about the mail away Boba Fett action figure with the firing rocket that they had to then glue in because some kid was too dumb to know how to play with it, I guess. you know, if you ever, you know, ever listen to the Sarlacc Pit and that comes up, you'll hear Chris go on and on about that particular incident, because that was something he was really excited about when he was a kid. But
and then he got a Boba Fett with a glued rocket. The one fire.
He was so disappointed. But because, you know, in all honesty, though, I feel like when that first came out, I feel like people probably did like it. You know, like it was almost like they were so into the Star Wars hype, they might have actually been kind of still just like, wow, this is still so cool. They were able to overlook Carrie Fisher's singing. You know, but I, to me personally, the only thing I really enjoyed about it was, you know, obviously the comic short with Boba Fett. It's, again, it's really cool. You get this really cool plot with him befriending Luke and riding that really cool, like, dragon-like creature with his magnetic gun or whatever. I mean, it looks like a big magnet that shoots electricity. You know, he, like, befriends them, and he ties Han and Chewie upside down. And, I mean, it just, it's a really fun little story interjected into a terrible plot. So, you know, we were supposed to have a special guest on tonight. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. And it was kind of his idea to talk about the holiday special because – I mean, he basically, to use his own, to use his words, you know, it's something that he loves to hate, or hates to love, however you want to put it. I mean, he appreciates it for what it is, but he's not, you know, obviously in love with it, but he wanted to talk a little bit more probably about it than you and I do. But that's really all I have to really say. Cause again, other than that, I don't really have anything positive to say. So there's no point in going in about that. I mean, no sense in the negativity.
Right. Other than, you know, now I can say I've seen it. There's really nothing else that I've really gained from watching this. But I am going to have to agree with you on the cartoon in there. It was really cool, really good. It was sort of unnerving after a while that Boba Fett kept calling everyone friend. And it's like, you're getting creepy on me, Boba. you know, that's the point. You know, everyone talks about this. I've heard about this short for a long time and, you know, how great it is and how awesome it is for Boba Fett. And so I expected it to be, like, incredible and stuff like that, which it was, especially compared to the rest of this holiday special. But the thing that no one else told me about that I found really, really cool about the short was the fact that our heroes, Han and Luke, have to be saved by R2, Chewie, and 3PO. And that the three side characters that we get from the film are the ones that do the rescuing and are able to thwart Boba Fett in the end. So I mean, that's all I really have to say. Oh, and one other side note, it was kind of humorous to me to see the actor Harvey Korman show up a couple different times in different costumes as different characters, because I've watched a lot of episodes of the Carol Burnett Show in which he was a regular on. So seeing some of his characters really reminded me that a lot of his little shorts should have been sketches on the Carol Burnett Show instead of in a Star Wars universe. But but it was kind of funny to me to see him show up a couple times. He was the cook in the cooking video, and then in the bar scene, he was this love interest guy who drank by dumping the ale down his head instead of. But it was just amusing to me to see him. But yeah, other than that, I really don't have anything else to really say about the holiday special. If you've seen it, you can have the distinction of saying you've seen it, but don't feel like you're missing out on much.
Right. Yeah, and I don't feel most people would say, "Oh my God, I have to see this." You don't. It doesn't add anything to the Star Wars universe. I mean, it doesn't add anything to the canon. It doesn't do much of anything. I mean, the comic short, again, like Jason and I were just saying, you know, that's really cool. It's a lot of – that's fun. And it's short. pull that up on its own on YouTube and enjoy it and then be done. Because the rest of it's just kind of ridiculous. But
yeah, including entire like 5-minute scenes where all the dialogue is just Wookiee roars and grunts and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, what were you thinking doing that? Like,
what, of all the creatures in the universe you could have picked to have this based on, you had to pick Wookiees that we can't understand.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So. As much as I love Wookiees, and little Lumpy was kind of cute, although he looked... When he smiled, he looked like one of those little stuffed animals at the dentist that has those grinning spaces with, like, the teeth where the dentist can, like, show the little kids how to brush their teeth on.
Yeah.
He was like, but, sorry, that just thought came to me. But anyways, yeah. So there you go. There's our glowing review of the holiday special.
Yes. Out of 5 stars, we stand, I give it a 0.5 star.
Yes. As we stand around the glowing embers of the burned holiday special.
Yes, which is keeping us warm here in the lair.
Yes. But we did want to keep with the Christmas spirit and go on to some of our... He's looking at me in this funny look. It's sort of weird. Kind of creepy.
My eyes are that open.
Sorry. But we're going to keep with the Christmas spirit, and we're going to share some of our favorite Christmas memories from over the years. I got just a couple. I don't know how many Carl's got. How many do you got?
Just a couple. Not that many, to be honest.
Yeah. But you go ahead. You go ahead and start.
Okay. Why don't I go ahead and start?
All right. Sounds good. You do that.
Okay. Well, for me, it all began in the year 1996. I think one of the biggest Star Wars memories I have in relation to Christmas, you know, barring, you know, obviously Star Wars Christmas presents and stuff of that nature, I can always remember for years, the first few years I was really into Star Wars, and this was actually before the Star Wars action figures became really popular again. It was actually right before, I don't know if you ever had this VHS set of the movies, Jason. This might have been it was before you got into them, so you might not have, because you didn't get into them till the special editions. But right before the special editions, I believe it was I want to say it was 94 or 95. They released a box set of the original trilogy again. This was before the special edition changes, and they had remastered them. They remastered the sound and everything, and the boxes were really cool. They had three covers. Well, obviously, the cover to Star Wars was Darth Vader's helmet, and then in the foreground was just the picture of the Death Star, and then a TIE fighter and an X-wing. And the Empire Strikes Back box had a Stormtrooper's helmet, and then on the front, like at the bottom, was like the Battle of Hoth. And then Return of the Jedi was Yoda's face, and then Luke and Vader dueling from the end of the movie.
I've seen the artwork. I've seen the artwork.
That was when I first remember, and this was right before even that came out. And the Sci-Fi Channel used to always play them right around Christmas time. They would play the original trilogy on TV. And up to that point, like, I was just getting into Star Wars, and I knew I loved it. It was like, you know, the first time I really watched Star Wars, the first time I really interacted with Star Wars, I knew this was going to be something I'd love. Now, granted, I don't think I would have known I'd loved it for this long, but be that as it may, I knew it was something I was really going to be into. And I can just remember for a couple years in a row there, when we would be decorating the family Christmas tree, we would have either Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi on in the background. I never watched A New Hope. I don't know why. I don't know if it was just because it wasn't on at those times when we were doing the tree or what. A New Hope was always my least favorite of the originals anyway, as a kid and even still so now, which I know Chris Hoth, Ice Planet, is screaming right now. But, it was just such a nice memory, like decorating the Christmas tree and in the background, especially when like the Battle of Hoth was going on and you looked outside. This is before global warming existed and you actually had snow in December in upstate New York, as opposed to just like, you know, now we get it like January through April, which sucks. But, you know, like you would look outside.
Instead of December through March, you get a January through April. So.
Right. Yeah. Just push back. It's just delayed, I guess. Global delay.
Global weather delay.
Global weather delay. But you know, it was cool. Like, cause you'd look outside and see the snow falling, you're decorating this tree and you have that Christmas spirit, but you also felt like I always felt a further connection to that battle. Cause I was like, oh, as soon as we're done decorating the tree, me and my brother's going to go outside and reenact that battle. Like, it was just, you know, there was that connection. You could go out and participate in those movie scenes you were watching. So, I think that was, you know, and then obviously in 95 or 96, whenever that box set came out, that was my first ever Star Wars Christmas present. Was my parents gave that to my brothers and I just kind of claimed it as mine. But of course. And, I always loved that. I loved, you know, and that maybe that even early on, I think that was part of what kind of hardwired it into my psyche. It was just, you know, I love Christmas time. I've always loved Christmas and the Christmas season, and I love Christmas trees and I love decorating them. So doing that as a family was always so much fun. So you had this, you know, this family bonding event. And what is the background to that? Star Wars. You know, I mean, in that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and Jason was always there singing that while it was happening. kind of weird. The Force just destined this to happen. So that really just ingrained a love for Star Wars to me. And there's something about the holiday season that really even just kind of revamps that love for Star Wars and rekindles those memories. So that's my first real distinct memory of it. But what about you?
Well, my very, 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 very first Star Wars Christmas memory is my very, 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 very first Star Wars memory.
They're going to say your very, very first Star Wars, or your very, very first Christmas. I'm going to be like, dude, you remember that?
yes, I remember my very, 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 very first Christmas. I was less than one.
Most of us were.
But no, and this was December of 1996. And we were out Christmas shopping for my dad because he was out of town for work at that moment for about a week or so. And then he was going to come back like 5 days before Christmas, he'd be back. But so we decided, my mom decided to take us all Christmas shopping for him while he was gone. We went to Walmart and, you know, we're looking through all the different sections and stuff, and we go to the sporting goods section, and I've told this story before because it's my very, very first encounter with Star Wars. And they're sitting on the shelf of the sporting goods section, like near the tents or something, is a little box. It's a toy. It's a toy box. And I'm like, well, being, you know, almost seven, I go, ooh, what is this? Being seven, I was like, ooh, a toy. Let's go look at it. And so I walk over there and I grab it, and it says Star Wars, and it's this Micro Machine set. And I believe it was something to do with the second battle over Endor, like the Death Star, because I believe it had an A-wing in it or something. And I was looking at this, and it was like, you know, space, and there were like things shooting and stuff. I was like, this is weird. Star Wars. I'll never like Star Wars. And I just shoved the toy to the very back of the shelf because it was almost empty, just wiped completely clean for Christmas. I just shoved it as far back in the shelf as I could and went back to catch up with my mom, who was going around the next aisle. So that's my first Star Wars Christmas memory.
And as you shoved that so back into the shelf, you've probably heard the Lord whisper, blasphemy.
Well, it was only 2 months later in February when my parents took me to go see Star Wars, and my life was changed forever.
Forever. Okay.
But yes. So that's my very, very first Star Wars Christmas memory.
Oh, wonderful.
What's your next memory? I've got two more, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Oh, gee whiz.
Wow!
Wow! Okay, sorry.
That was funny.
You can definitely see the growth Jason and I have had as co-hosts because we are way more fun than we were like the first 10 episodes. Topics, but we weren't as comfortable with one another.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, so my second...
Yeah, a couple ahead. Of goofballs.
Exactly. If there was a ball right here, it'd be full of goof.
Oh, Oh, making man. You snort up laughing so yeah. hard. Gosh.
Okay, JD.
Stop. Okay, stop it. Stop it. Memory, get to it.
Okay, day. I'm so bad at that. Help me out.
Bad.
There we go. all right, so my second memory is... Oh, crap. What was it? Oh, no.
Skip to your third and come back.
Okay, I'll skip to my third. So my third memory is just kind of a funny memory. And this was also in the year 1997, so I was 12 years old. And, you know, this was in the early swing, the early hype of, you know, the rebirth of Star Wars action figures. The special editions had just come out, you know, so Star Wars was, you know, it was on the rise once again after, you know, what other fans have called the Dark Ages, you know, basically between, you know, 1983 and 1993, almost that there was almost a decade there, but whatever, you all know the history. But anyway, I really wanted this particular Luke Skywalker action figure that year for Christmas. And it was the green carded or no red carded Luke Skywalker Jedi Knight from Return of the Jedi action figure. And my cousins had, you know, the week before gone to Toys R Us, and my one cousin had gotten the rare brown robe edition of this Luke Skywalker action figure. And it was just like, oh my God, you got that? That's so cool. And I was like, Mom, can I go over? They obviously have those on the shelves. My mom was like, no, Christmas is a week away. You cannot go anywhere and buy yourself anything. That was the family rule. You couldn't buy, when you were a kid, couldn't get anything. Like
December,
for at least a,
come December, yeah. You couldn't get anything until after Christmas.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was like, oh, crap in a hat. I'm never going to get that now. Because it was like, you know, in your head as a kid, like when you hear that something is like rare or something, you feel like it's probably impossible to get. Well, right. And the main reason I remember this too is because this is on video, so I can rewatch it all the time and laugh at myself. And I've rewatched this video almost every year, usually by myself, because my brothers are relentlessly making fun of me otherwise. But
you're going to have to show this video to me.
Oh, I shall. Yeah. Oh, it's too bad. It's like this old VHS. There's no way I could get it on the internet, although I would never put it up, I don't think. But it was like Christmas morning, and you know, obviously my mom's filming us opening our Christmas presents and whatnot, and I open up the Luke Skywalker action figure, and he's got the brown robe, and I just scream, "There's Luke Jedi in brown!" Sorry, I just like shuddered your eardrums there.
No, I'm adjusting my head.
Oh, dang.
They were...
So... I'm just like ecstatic. I'm like screaming Luke Jedi in brown. And like, it's just so weird to see. Cause on the video, it's just like this 12-year-old kid who's overly excited about one simple action figure, but it just like made my Christmas. Cause it was the figure I really wanted. And,
it was the rare version.
And it was the rare version. I always had like a secret competition with my two cousins over what figures we could get. Like, so when my cousin got that, I'm like, I gotta get that. So, you know, so I could be like on the same par as him of coolness. So
right.
Now I'm still on par with him as cool. And this was also, you'll appreciate this, Jason, this was my big Jedi stage too. Cause for the first couple of years of Star Wars, the only character I loved and wanted to be was Han Solo. I was all about the smugglers and the bounty hunters.
Right.
But I was just getting into the Jedi Academy trilogy at the time. And that very same Christmas, my parents also bought me the last book in the Jedi Academy trilogy, which I was ecstatic about. And then I also got a subscription to the Star Wars Insider, which is the magazine for the fan club, that nice. Year for Christmas. So it was like a Star Wars packed Christmas. And it was just so excited opening that under the tree. So that's my second memory. I got to remember the third
awesome.
One. But you go ahead.
Okay. All right, I'll start talking, and hopefully you'll be able to remember your third memory.
I indeed do.
But my third or second memory also has to deal with that Christmas right after the special editions come out, because this was the first Christmas I could get Star Wars presents, and I'd already gotten some cool stuff for my birthday, which was in May. You know, this is obviously 1997. After we've seen this, you know. Special editions. We've bought the trilogy on VHS. I wore out Return of the Jedi. And So I was just really, really excited for Christmas because I was like, I want this and I want this. And this is the first Christmas I made detailed lists of what I wanted for Christmas. you know, and it was very specific, this version of this character action figure, and, you know, very detailed, very specific. I never got half of the things that I put on my list, but that's okay. But I just remember distinctly this Christmas.
I don't mean to interrupt, but real quick. When you were a kid, because this is something me and my brothers did, because my older brother was, like, such a, like, an organized, like, little kid. Right. When we made our Christmas lists, we used to attach, once the internet became, like, accessible, we would attach pictures, or we would cut them out of magazines, pictures of the items we wanted to make it very clear to Santa Claus what exactly it was. We didn't want him to have any confusion over this. Did you ever do that? You and your sister?
Yes. So there were a few times when I was concerned whether or not my parents knew what I was talking about. I would go find a picture and I would either show them and say, see that? That's this right here, okay?
I'll fold over every page in the Star Wars Toys R Us book that you need to be aware of.
But I remember specifically because this Christmas, I mean, up until this point, I gotten a few, you know, action figures, and the only like big thing that I had was the Luke with speeder bike, which was like the big present, my favorite present that I got for my birthday. But for Christmas, I got two of, you know, the deluxe figures, which made my day. It was just like, oh yes. And I'm sure I got a couple of other things too. I got the, that was for my birthday from a friend. Never mind. Anyways, sorry, slightly distracted. But,
no, okay.
But what I really remember playing with after Christmas, that Christmas under the tree, was I got the Han Solo, and Millennium Falcon turret. You know, where you put the little turret together and you sit him in there and it moves around and you can shoot the four missiles. And then I got the Hoth trooper with the rebel cannon. That thing was like my favorite. I loved that cannon. I could care less about the trooper. I just loved that cannon. And so I was like, I turned it into a ship. I made it, you know, cause the dish part of it would like come out and it had like this little tab that would, you know, go back and forth so that you could, you know, turn it, you know, point it up or straight or whatever, and it would just, you know, slip right out so that you could, you know, store it easier or whatever. And so I made it, you know, the ship, and that the lower part was just like the transporter, and then the dish would like come out and fly around and I could shoot things with it. I had so much fun with that cannon. But that was like, and I got that from my sister, and I was like, this is the best Christmas present ever. And I was just, you know, and then of course every birthday and Christmas since then I've been just like, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, I don't care, just Star Wars, give it to me, you know. not to sound greedy, but that's sort of the way it's been. I'll share one of my other big Christmas Star Wars memories after you. Have you remembered your other memory?
I did. I remembered it. I did it.
I did it. Oh, and living in Texas, it's very difficult to have snowy Hoth memories at Christmas.
I know. I was going to say that I can't imagine Christmas without snow. Although, granted, for the past like probably 5 years almost, I don't think we've had snow on Christmas here either. Like it tends to be at least cold, but it's usually like it's either rainy and cold or just sunny and cold. I get so excited for a white Christmas every year, and I actually get like anxious. It's pathetic because I'm like 27 years old and I still get anxious. Like this morning, I was walking to work and it was like downpour and 50 degrees out. So it wasn't like cold or anything, but it was like 50 degrees and pouring. And I'm like, oh, why won't it just be a white Christmas? I was like, I'm like getting all like flustered as I'm walking to work. I'm like, all right, Carl, just relax. It's okay.
We got a week.
Yeah, I know. I know. And then when I saw that it's going to be 32 this week, and I was like, thank God, maybe we can get some snow. anywho, before I forget that memory, because I almost did, almost slipped right out like a tauntaun on the ice. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But, anywho.
Anyway. Oh, my. What a lot of funny things go by.
Ooh, that rhymed, Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, Dr. Seuss. Anyway, so, okay, my other memory, and it's kind of similar to the first one there, but also pertaining to, again, just stories at Christmas time. And, you know, as I was thinking about this today, I was like, well, should I list, like, all the great Christmas presents I got that were Star Wars related? And I was like, no, like, because most of them, you know, they're, like, your typical action figures here and there. They weren't, you know, nothing too crazy. I mean, they were always exciting, but to me, it's, like, the memories of other things that are more important. And, like, this next one. So, just like we would always watch Star Wars as we decorated the tree, you know, after a couple of years of getting more and more into Star Wars, and now, you know, now you had these action figures you could play with, the tradition expanded then from, you know, I would almost always, because once I had the, you know, the VHS tapes of them, I would always watch Empire and Jedi a few days before Christmas. Like, they were in rotation. They started the Christmas movie rotation. It was Empire, Jedi, then, like, the Rudolph movie, Frosty the Snowman, you know, the Santa Claus.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Actually, no, I never watched that one as a kid. I know. I watched that for the first time.
That's, like, my favorite.
Last weekend at a holiday party. I know. My friends were like, dude, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know.
Never seen that until just...
Well, I've seen parts of it, but never the whole thing. So, I know my friend was like,
favorite.
I know my buddy was like, he's like, you haven't seen the whole thing? It's 22 minutes, dude. What's your problem? I was like, I guess I had ADHD back then. I don't know.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love it. Anyways.
But yeah, so after that, you know, after 1996, Empire and Jedi always kicked off my Christmas holiday movie festival. But after I would watch Jedi, I would always, and usually my younger brother would play along with me. But I would take my action figures and play in the Christmas tree, and the Christmas tree became the forest moon of Endor.
Nice.
And because, like, you know, I could go outside. I would always go out in the snow, and you know, and this wasn't technically just Christmas, because again, we used to have a lot of snow for a couple of months, you know, in upstate New York. But still, it was always holiday related. You know, we would go outside and we would reenact the Battle of Hoth, and we had this big toboggan that fit me and my two brothers, and we'd always, you know, start by, like, losing the battle. Then we'd have to race down the hill because we lived in the woods and the backyard was all wooded and it was a big hill. And we'd, like, race down on the toboggan, which was our T-47, and, you know, run away from the AT-AT walkers and stuff. And then we would come inside, my younger brother and I, every, like, those nights, and we would just, like, take my action figures and we would play in the Christmas tree with the, with the Star Wars figures and pretend it was, you know, the Battle of Endor scenes and stuff, and it was the Wookiee Village, or excuse me, the Wookiee Village. Come on, noob. The Ewok Village. You know, so
you got Christmas, the holiday special on the mind, on your mind.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, get it out. But yeah, so I always loved doing that. That was always so much fun. Like, the Christmas tree was, I mean, again, I love Christmas trees, and being able to play with my Star Wars action figures in a Christmas tree was just, because again, like, I always played with my Star Wars figures. I was, you know, it was always this kind of the same spots. But you only have a Christmas, you only have a tree in your house, you know, essentially a couple of weeks out of the year, and that's for Christmas. So having a tree in the house and, like, playing with your figures in them, and then having them play in the midst of the lights and stuff, and, you know, in between the ornaments and whatnot, and sometimes I'd get in trouble because I'd accidentally break an ornament. But
yeah, my mom wouldn't let me because we had tons of ornaments because she had, you know, stuff that she'd gotten from her family and stuff that she'd collected over the years. And we'd had tons of ornaments, and there were some that were very, very cool. So she wouldn't let me do stuff like that.
Yeah. My father would always watch very closely. but yeah, it was just always so much fun. I loved that. I mean, again, there was just such an attachment to Star Wars and Christmas, and always such that there's such that fondness. So I do have just one more little one, but I'll save it till you're done, if that's okay. It's really small. So
yeah, no, that's fine. It's kind of interesting because a lot of my Star Wars memories revolve around my birthday, because my birthday is smack dab in the middle of May, which is when movies always come out. Mm-hmm. So that's like my big Star Wars time of year is my birthday. But a couple of years ago, I think it was, how old was I? 16, maybe. I think I was 16. It was Christmas 2005. Yeah, I was 16. You know, we'd gone on vacation earlier that year. And I don't remember which, it was either Colorado or, Seattle that year. And I don't remember which, but, anyways, you know, you go flying, you know, to these places, and, you know, there's always that, you know, the catalog that they have in the seat backs, in the airplanes and everything. And so, you know, I, you know, past the time while we're getting ready to take off, I paw through the catalog, and there in the catalog is this interactive R2-D2. And I was like, ooh, that looks really cool. Hey, Dad, check this out. And that was in, like, June or July. Come Christmas time, we're there opening presents, and Mom and Dad tell me, okay, open ours last. So I did. And it was just like this little tube of paper. And so I unroll it. And it's this sheet of paper with that interactive R2-D2 printed out on it and saying, it will be here next week. So and I was like, yes! So not only was it awesome because I got an interactive R2-D2, which is over there on the floor behind me, but it made my Christmas extend a week. So I got two Christmases almost. And the second one was just for me. So, and as goofy and childish as that may sound at 16, I was thoroughly thrilled, with it. And so, you know, I waited a week and then it came in and, you know, the package came in and, my mom intercepted the package and didn't tell me that it had arrived. And so that night when my dad got home from work, they're like, okay, Jason, go sit next to the tree. We, you know, got something for you. And so they brought, you know, the cardboard box with, you know, package and everything. And they set it down in front of the tree and I opened it by the tree again, you know. So I got to have my Christmas there, all to myself with opening R2-D2, under the Christmas tree. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, that's my most recent big Christmas memory.
Yeah.
But like I said, most of my Star Wars memories come around my birthday, simply because of the proximity to when the films come out.
Sure.
But yeah, and I'm starting to look at Star Wars Christmas tree ornaments and go, because I don't think I have any. Well, I take that back. I have one that you gave me. Actually, I might have a couple. I don't remember. But I'm looking at Christmas ornaments, Star Wars Christmas ornaments, and going, I should start purchasing a few of these.
Yeah, there are so many really cool ones that Hallmark put out. One of my favorite ornaments we had on the tree growing up, my older brother was a Star Trek fan. Not like I am a Star Wars fan, but he always preferred Star Trek. He had this really cool Klingon warbird or whatever they're called. I think that's what they're called.
I don't know.
Christmas ornament, and you plug it in.
No.
But you plugged it into like the light, and like it had flashing lights on it and stuff, which was really cool. So he still has a couple because his he still has. Like on his tree in his house now, he has like his fun tree, and he has some Star Trek ornaments on it and stuff, which is really cool to see. And I was always like, man, I should really get some Star Wars ornaments because there are some really awesome ones out there. The only problem is they're really expensive. But the trick is if you can find them after Christmas at the Hallmark store, because then they're like 50% off. I noticed Chris Hawthorne's planet over on the Sarlacc pit there. He put up a picture of obviously what's his Star Wars Christmas tree. He put those up on Facebook, some pictures of his, and they're all Star Wars decorations and stuff. That's really cool. Anyway, just one last little thing I remember is, and this is the most recent memory too, was when I worked at Toys R Us during my sophomore year in college. I got hired as holiday help, and it was the best job I'd had since, you know, before teaching. It was so fun working during Christmas. And surprisingly, I always remember this. It was so surprising how nice people actually were. Because I worked at CVS for years before I took that job. And people were typically cranky on a regular basis. But at Christmas time at Toys R Us, you were probably like, okay, everybody's going to be kind of like annoying and rude because they're just in a rush and it's going to be crazy. Literally, I literally only had one bad incident in the entire Christmas season while working at Toys R Us. Everybody was so pleasant and nice. But I loved it because literally the week before Christmas, almost everybody working was working a cash register because you just had so many people. But initially when I was hired, as like a backup register, but work on the sales floor, like helping people with things. And I loved it during that season because it was like, you know, of course Toys R Us started playing Christmas music the day after Halloween, but and it was kind of the annoying Christmas music. I'm more a fan of the more traditional, obviously religious-based Christmas music because of, you know, where I stand in life. But and I do like some of the, you know, the fun, like, Rudolph-type songs. But some of them are really annoying. And they played a lot of those, like, really kiddie ones at Toys R Us. Yeah. And it was on, like, basically a one-hour loop. So it was like,
oh no.
Even a four-hour shift, you were like, oh, my God, I hate this donkey song. It's like, come on. But I always loved it because I loved when I had customers come in. And, I mean, this wasn't that shocking because this is right after Revenge of the Sith came out. So, again, Star Wars was very, you know, it's been popular really since the 90s again. But, you know, there's this huge influx again of toys and whatnot. And I had so many, specifically mothers, coming in just saying, my kid likes Star Wars. I'm not really sure where to begin. I'm like, follow me. And so again, it's not anything certainly specific, but just during that like 2 week period of just helping people shop for Star Wars Christmas presents was awesome. Like I loved it. And I don't know. It was great. And then last year at Christmas time, I was dating a girl at the time and we were out doing Christmas shopping and, one of the school was doing like a basically, you know, like a Toys for Tots type drive at the school I work at. And one of the, you know, categories of suggested gifts for a young boy is Star Wars action figures. I'm like, giddy up. I got to get that. And I very rarely go out and buy Star Wars action figures anymore, mainly because I just don't have the place for them and I don't have the money. But I was like, I got to do this. It's for a good cause. And so, I'm like shopping around at Target for a good Star Wars action figure for this Toys for Tots thing. And she's like, all right, Carl, like, come on, hurry up. And I was like, no. I was like, it's gotta be the right one. I was like, I'm not getting one of these like lame, like side characters. It's gotta be a good one. And I ended up getting like a Han and Hoth battle gear action figure. It was really good. So I was really proud of it. And, you know, when I was getting wrung out, it was like an older woman. She like, you know, I have like, you know, lots of, you know, random normal stuff that had 20 odd year old would buy at Target and then a Star Wars action figure. She just kind of gives me a funny smile. She goes, did you tell Santa what you wanted? And I just pointed to my girlfriend. I go, well, it's actually for her. So she wasn't very happy with me, but that is not why she broke up with me, but,
that better not be.
Right. Gee whiz. But, yeah. So anyway, those are some of the most fond Christmas memories of Star Wars.
But that actually reminds me of last year, the police, San Antonio Police Department, was doing a toy drive as well. And it was like the Blue Santa toy drive, you know, blue because they're, you know, policemen.
Right.
But but they were like, you know, bring, you know, unwrapped toys and drop them off at these locations and stuff like that. And so I was like, I really want to do that. I had a little extra money left over from my Christmas shopping, and I was like, I want to do this. So I went and I bought a Clone Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi action figure, and then I bought two things. I bought, you know, just the Clone Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then I bought, like, the little Galactic Heroes, like a two-pack. I think it was, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi and who was it? Maybe Anakin. So I was like, yes, I feel like I've accomplished something. And now I can influence a little child, two little children, with Star Wars awesomeness and bring a smile to their face at Christmas. But that was like a spur of the moment. I'm going to go do this, you know, type of thing. I was like, yes, I'm going to do this, make a difference for somebody for Christmas and indulge my Star Wars sensibilities at the same time. So...
And indeed you did.
I did.
So.
But there we go.
Well, might as well jump into our next little segment here. That was fun. Trip down memory lane. I'm all excited.
Yeah, Christmas.
I love Christmas time. It's just as the song says, the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes.
And being that is, you know, it's obviously Christmas a week from today, and then coming up right after that, we've got New Year's, so... 2012 was a big year for the Wampa's Lair and for Star Wars fans in general. So we're just going to quickly go over a couple quick things that we thought were really important, you know, to us and also to the Star Wars community in 2012. And of course, we'll start with all the way back in, I believe it was it late January or early February?
It was February.
Yeah. February, with the release of our first Star Wars 3D movie, which was, of course, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yes.
And Jason ate it up like, I don't know, a wannabe eats a town.
Like a right before eats a Gamorrean guard.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Burp.
But, so, yeah, I mean, we had, obviously, in 2012, we kicked off the, you know, the Star Wars phenomenon again in the big screen, but this time in 3D, which was really exciting. I only saw it once. That was kind of enough for me because I am not crazy about The Phantom Menace. I don't dislike it, but obviously, as we know, I mean, I like it more than... Actually, no, it is my least favorite Star Wars movie. But I did go see it. I was thrilled with it. It was awesome seeing Star Wars on the big screen. But that was, you know, a great way to start 2012. So...
I agree. I only saw it once as well, but that was more because financial reasons rather. Yeah. No, I saw it twice. I take that back. I saw it twice. I saw it the night it came out with some friends, and then I took my sister to go see it a week or two later. But it was great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought the 3D was awesome, but agreed. It was an awesome way to kick off a year. With Star Wars back in the theaters. And we're going to get two of them next year. Two of them.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so. the next big item that happened, at least for us with Star Wars, didn't happen for a while. It happened late August. And that was the awesome event that was Celebration 6. In Orlando, Florida, where Carl traveled down from the great, not quite white north, and I traveled east from the
hot desert sand,
the dusty desert, to the and we ended up in the humid jungles of Orlando, Florida. But this was where the Wampa's lair, at least for us, really started to click and connect and really started to take off. But the event itself was incredibly awesome. I mean, Star Wars Celebration. Come on.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
It was so awesome. And like you said, Jason, I mean, for us specifically, that was a great time because, you know, we'd met at, you know, Fan Days, which kicked all of this off. But now we were already up through 20-odd episodes by the time we got to C6. And, you know, while, you know, obviously this entire friendship has been solely internet-based, you know, we've been doing so much and working together so much and just we've been so involved with each other's lives that seeing each other in person in Orlando for C6 just definitely, like, re-solidified, you know, a growing friendship and obviously made us some new friends in Steve Glosson and the Coens. And, you know, spending time with Chris and Kyle Baca and the Blantons, you know, and lots of other wonderful people. But obviously that was the core group for us. And I won't go on and on about C6 because we've already had like three episodes about it. But I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was, for you and I specifically, I mean, it was the first really big, it was the first celebration we've been to. It was awesome to be surrounded by 30,000 fans of Star Wars.
Yes.
To be given the privilege of a media pass at something like this was huge. I mean, to a podcast that wasn't even a year old, we were granted these media passes. I mean, it was awesome. It was such a great delight. And, you know, we saw George Lucas. I mean.
Yes. Like, in the flesh.
In the flesh. Like maybe 50 yards from us. Maybe not even. Probably 20 yards from us. I mean, it was awesome. And. You know, we all came together so well in Orlando. I mean, C6 was definitely probably the highlight for me of 2012.
I will agree there.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'd gotten married, I'd say that was, but can't but, keep but a girl around. So, anyway, yeah, I mean, so obviously C6 was huge. And then, of course, the biggest news of 2012 and the biggest news in Star Wars, really, since 1997 when Episode 1 was announced.
We have Episodes 7, 8, 9. Drop the mic, walk away.
That's our Steve Glosson thing again, in case you didn't know. Yes. That was Steve Glosson's prediction the night before the last night of C6, when we had our soiree in the Cohen suite, and Glosson's got Jason giddy on the floor, shaking with anticipation. And then,
and
you know,
he would have been right if they had gotten the deal together faster.
Exactly. So he was right. Just a little premature.
Yes. So. A month premature. So.
But Steve Glosson,
you are a Jedi Master above the rest.
Yes. But, I mean, this was awesome for Star Wars fans. I mean, again, and there was, you know, there was that negative reaction of like, oh, bleh. But most Star Wars fans didn't have room for that. We were just so caught up. Obviously, Jason and I were so caught up in how awesome this is going to be. And again, if you haven't listened to the last episode, you really should, because Jason gives a great plot line for what episode 7 could be. And it's awesome. Like, if Michael Arndt calls Jason, we'll be in for a good episode 7.
yes.
But, you know, that was huge. Episode 7, October 30th, 2012. I shall never forget.
Yes, it was incredible. I just remember biking home from school and looking at my phone, and it's like blown up. I've got like 2 missed calls from Carl.
And that was because your phone was off. You would have had like 9. I called you like 7 times, and I'm like, why is your phone off?
And like 3 texts, and then of course I get on Facebook, and it's just like flooded with like, Star Wars is back, and you know, if Disney buys Lucasfilm, and I'm like, and of course, you know, if you listen to our episode, our special report episode on that, you know, I was gushing with giddy excitement the entire time. So we kind of both were, but yeah, no, that was the biggest news, and that has been what's driven Star Wars forward since. Everyone wants to know what's next, what's coming out next. And we really only got that, you know, Michael Arndt's the writer. George Lucas is going to be, you know, consulting, you know, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Although Lawrence Kasdan and the other writer, you know, have been signed on, whether or not that's for 8 and 9 or future films, we're not sure. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what we've gotten. But it's what everyone else. But that's the thing that everyone is looking forward to and wanting to figure out what happens next.
Right.
So,
and I think, well, the one thing Kathy Kennedy just announced is that she's hoping to announce some big news in January regarding episode 7. And most people, they were just put an article up on theforce.net about this. And, you know, the author of the article speculates that it'll probably be the director, hopefully. Because you know, he says it's very unlikely that we'd still get any plot details until the director's been confirmed. But yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if come January we have the director announced at some point in January.
Plot details and casting announcements and stuff will only happen after the director is announced. So
exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, so that's our Star Wars year in review. And Carl.
No, I want to start with you because I'm still thinking.
Okay.
Because I thought I knew, but I realized I was wrong about something.
Okay, so, well, then go ahead and introduce our segment.
Okay, I shall. Thank you.
I'll start.
So the last thing, we're just thinking, in the spirit of Christmas and gift giving, Jason and I were thinking about, well, what can Star Wars give to me? Because it's all about us. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, but like just thinking ahead to 2013 now, you know, what would we like to see from Star Wars this coming year? What's the one thing we'd really like to see happen in 2013? And obviously, this is being realistic. Obviously, my initial reaction was Episode 7 should come out, but we know that that's not going to happen, so there's no point in wishing for it. But so, like, realistically, what would we like to see in 2013 come out from Star Wars? So I'm still racking my brain a bit. So I know Jason will get me grounded a bit, as he always does. So Jason, what would you like to see in 2013?
Okay, well, obviously we've got episodes 2 and 3 coming out in 3D, which is something to look forward to. But that's something we know is coming, we've known is coming. If Star Wars could give me a present for 2013, that would be the blueprints and announcement to a Star Wars theme park on the Walt Disney World Resort.
Ooh.
So that would be my big excitement. You know, planned opening for, you know, 2016 or something like that, 2017, because, you know, it takes a long time to build an amusement park. But yeah, no, that would be something I would be thrilled about, you know.
Yeah.
Would be the announcement of a Star Wars theme park on the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida. And yeah. I would make it my business to go and be there when it opened.
That's cool.
I would have to do that. So yeah, that would be the big thing for me is at least the announcement, and hopefully sort of a rough blueprint. Although Disney's gets very secretive and likes to keep things like this a surprise until the last minute when they open things up. So we probably wouldn't get any blueprints or anything. But
yeah.
Lucasfilm and Disney really only let you find out information that they want you to find out.
Right.
So
two of
the most secretive little companies when it comes to announcements. So we can't really expect many leaks coming from either Episode 7 or, you know, other Star Wars related projects that they don't really want us to know.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I hear you. So.
But anyways, have you come up with something?
Yeah, I do. But I have a couple things. Whoops. So I know I'm going to just have one. But two are realistic. One is a bit unrealistic. So I'll start. To me, actually, what I would love, the thing I would like the most, is that they would announce another Star Wars Fan Days next October, or this coming October. In October of 2013, because we know that there's obviously a celebration in Europe, which I can't go to, and I know you can't go to.
But
I would love to see a Star Wars Fan Days coming up in 2013, because I could easily see another celebration in 2014, you know, to get people further amped for Episode 7. But I would love another Fan Days, because I loved Fan Days anyway. It was awesome. I mean, you know, comparing, again, just not to get too sidetracked, but just comparing that to C6, they were both awesome in their own way, but there was something just a little bit more intimate about Fan Days, because it is, I mean, it's a smaller event.
Yes.
But, so I would love an announcement for a Fan Days in 2013. And I don't care where it is, as long as it's not in like Mexico, because I don't really want to have to travel internationally, but, I'd love another one, you know, in Texas or somewhere out there. That's fine with me. I'd love one in Boston because I wouldn't have to go as far, but there'd be no point in doing it out here because not enough fan base. But so that would be my most realistic desire. And my other one, which is almost right up there with it, is confirmation that the big three are all signed on for Episode 7. I would love to know for a fact that Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford will be in Episode 7. I don't need to know about how much they're going to be involved or any of that yet. I don't think we're going to get any plot details until maybe the end of 2013. But I would just love to know that they're going to be in there. And then my unrealistic one is, and not completely unrealistic, because I was going to say Episode 7, surprise, comes out 2013. But no, that's not going to happen. but I would love if they bumped up Episodes 2 and 3 to like late spring, and then do Episodes 5 and 6 at the end of the year, or just even or Episode 4, 5, 6, whatever, or Episode 4 or something. I'd love to get one of the original trilogies in 3D by the end of the year, but I don't think it'll happen, so.
Yeah. I'm still holding to the prediction of we'll get 2 and 3 in 2013, and then we'll get 4 and 5 in 2014, and Episode 6 will be released February before Episode 7 comes out.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That's my prediction, although it's entirely possible we'll get the entire OT in 2014.
Right.
So
how awesome would it be, though, if they announced a Fan Days in October and, you know, we could all go see Episode 2 or 3 in 3D together, like at Fan Days or something. Like, how cool would that be? Like with all of, you know, like the Coens and Chris and Matt and you and me and Kyle Baca and the Blantons. You know, that'd be awesome. That'd be so cool.
And Steve.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget Steve Glosson.
So. Yeah. I'm actually listening to the latest episode of Geek Out Loud right now.
Great. We're recording a podcast and you're listening to one. Good work ethic, Jason.
Not at the current moment. I'm in the middle of it. I paused it for this. God.
Dear gods!
Dear gods! What am I saying?
Anyway, so there you go. That's what we would love. That's what we would like for 2013. But one last thing before we introduce our matchup, before we forget, because we will be getting a big announcement next week in late December. We won't be putting out another podcast before this. You will be able to find, we'll be posting info to Facebook and all that. So obviously be sure to keep on track with us there. But Joe Hogan will be releasing the teaser trailer to his new motion comic, The Panic Over Mutalist, which features the voices of Jason Boyd Hunt and Carl Francois Leclerc. So anyway, that's going to be
awesome.
Yeah. So this is going to be awesome. I mean, Joe, obviously, if you haven't seen Siren of Dathomir, what the heck? What are you waiting for? It's amazing. And I know a lot of our listeners have seen it and love it. And, you know, a lot of you know who Joe Hogan is because he's been on the show a couple times. He's awesome. He's the man. He's a fantastic artist. I mean, he does all our artwork for us. So Joe is releasing the teaser trailer to the new motion comic that he's doing. And Jason and I are, as far as I know, we're the only voices in the motion comic. We're the two acting parts.
In the teaser, at least.
Right, yeah, right. I think there'll be some other voices once the whole episode comes out. I'm a very small role, as should be, because I can't do anything with my voice like Jason. But Jason does a fantastic job, which is to be expected. So I think that is December 30th, Jason, that he's premiering?
Yes,
that?
It is scheduled to premiere on December 30th. So check our Facebook page, and hopefully I'll remember to post it to Twitter as well, because we will be linking the video there on the 30th. I will be first in line looking to see how awesome the trailer will be.
Joe promised us a sneak peek before he released it. I mean, we would not leak any of that to you guys, sorry,
right.
But I'm so excited to see that and to hear how it came out, because Joe was going to work some of his magic on it. So we had a lot of fun recording that too. We did that. What was that last week that we did that?
Or two weeks ago.
That was so much fun. I felt so cool and professional and like I was important. Oh, yes. Exactly. And I felt like I was working with like somebody famous because Jason was just like rocking it. So, and then I'm like, let's see here. Don't worry, I don't talk like that. But it was just I can't wait to see this. And again, just seeing Joe's artwork and whatnot. He's got a really cool story. I don't want to say anything about it because that's Joe's business. But just definitely be sure to keep on that, and keep on Joe Hogan's got his page on Facebook as well, and at DeviantArt as well. So definitely keep up to pace with that because it's going to be fun. It's going to be sweet. So
yes, indeed. But yeah. Our matchup that will be left with. Which we'll be left with over Christmas and New Year's and until January of 2013, provided that we all survive till then, provided the world will not end in 3 days, which it won't, because Star Wars hasn't finished yet. Star Wars is, as long as Star Wars continues, the world will not end.
It is the glue. It is the force which binds us and holds the galaxy together.
Indeed. We have a rather humorous matchup that Carl sort of came up with on the spot last episode, and we decided to make it our official matchup.
Because it's amazing!
Yes! I love it. And that will be... Drumroll, please! And it's awesome that he did that, because it's Jar Jar Binks versus Wicket W. Warwick.
Yes!
We got a clumsy Gungan versus a short little Ewok.
Who's also quite clumsy, if you recall. When he's got that little slingshot, he takes himself out.
Oh, so does Jar Jar with his slingshot, although he doesn't hit himself with it. He just sort of like catapults himself backwards with
right.
it.
Right. His was much larger, so give him
it. It was. It was. But so we got Jar Jar versus Wicket. Who will win? I'm very curious to see what people think and whether or not they will base this off of actual logical fact, or whether they'll just say, "I hate Jar Jar, so Wicket wins."
Yeah.
Which, if you say that, I will not read it on the air. I have full editing power over the... No, I'm just kidding.
That's true, and I won't read it either. Out of love of Jason.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You bet. But you got it.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. See, I'm starting to rub off on him.
Recent day starting pretty okie day.
Yes, with the frisky morning munch, and then boom! Getting very scared and grabbing that Jedi, and pow! Misa here. Recording a podcast. Misa getting very, very scared. Anyways, but yeah, so that'll be fun. That'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm also looking forward to kicking my feet up over Christmas and New Year's and enjoying the holidays on the brown Christmas I'll have out here in the dirt. let's see. Anything else? Oh, be sure to stay tuned after the show for Robert Jenner's second fan fiction feature, in which he discusses Ryan versus Dorkman, a classic Star Wars fan film that's been out for many years.
I dig Robert's voice. It's so awesome.
Yes, he's got that Australian accent. I can't really do his accent because I don't remember it off the top of my head, but there's sort of a British / Aussie accent there. But, yeah, so, Carl.
Yeah.
One of the things that we want to do for the new year, we're going to come back with a fun episode. Haven't nailed down which topic we're going to do yet, but probably the second episode we're going to do in the coming new year, we will have a fan response episode where we answer your questions. So if
it's
you
more
have
a fan
any
question than a fan response,
yes,
we respond to the fans.
Respond to the fans.
Yes.
So if you have anything you want us to talk about briefly or any questions that you have for us, send those in via Facebook, Twitter, email. Telegram. Carl, what are those exact locations that people can get in contact with us?
I forget. No, I'm just kidding.
40 episodes in and you
know, right?
How can
yes.
you do that?
Of course. You can find us at our Echo Base on Facebook at facebook.com/wampuslayerpodcast. And, of course, on Twitter at twitter.com/wampuslayer. And you can always email us at wampuslayerpodcast@gmail.com. So,
there we go.
And we do have a goal for Facebook to get up to 130 likes before the end of 2012. I think we're up to 127 or 128. So we're almost there. I was a little disappointed that one of those likes is my cat. My roommate runs that account. And I was like, really? He doesn't listen. He barely listens to me. But anyway,
so, let's
so maybe 131. Yes.
Yes.
So, but we are, I mean, again, to everyone who's liked us, to everyone who even listens to us and we don't even know it, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes. We got two more ratings this week on iTunes, which we really appreciate. Makes us feel awesome, you know. And again, you know, keep letting us know what you think. We love the interaction you guys give to us. And we, of course, appreciate you guys taking the time to give us those ratings because it really helps us out in the iTunes store. We're still kind of far down in the queue. You can find us much easier now through, you know, even by looking up other Star Wars podcasts. But we'd love to be able to even just be found quicker in a search engine. So, you know, the more ratings we get, the higher that moves us in the queue. So I'm not trying to be selfish or annoying to you people that haven't. But, you know, if you haven't, we'd really appreciate it because I mean, it'll take you all of a minute or two. So, you know, if you have the time, we'd love that.
Yes. Oh, and just real quick, in the spirit of giving, I just want to give our hosting website a plug here real quick. StarWarsReport.com with, you know, our parent podcast, Star Wars Report. And then, of course, our brother podcast, Star Wars Beyond the Films, over there, you know.
posting awesome content as always. And then they've got a whole group of awesome writers that they're posting at, you know, new stuff twice a week. And there's some really awesome stuff over there. So if you have a little extra time, you know, on your days off that you take during Christmas, pop over there, see what's up. There's some awesome stuff. I'm thinking about trying to put together something that I'm going to submit to Riley to maybe put up on the website. So, and I know Carl had had an awesome article several months ago that was on there, but they have some very good regular writers that post awesome stuff. So check it out and give that a whirl. But yeah, is there anything else that you want to do?
You know, I mean, just it's been a great year. 2012 was awesome to us. It was awesome to the Star Wars community. And of course, you know, I just want to say, you know, obviously to you, Jason, I'll talk to you before Christmas, but, cause I got your cell, what? And you have my cell, all the kids, all my students would be jealous cause you have my cell phone number.
Are they always asking for
it? I always just joke to them. They're like, Mr. LeClaire, Mr. LeClaire. And I'm like, guys, just text me later. They're like, we don't have your number. I'm like, boom, you don't, do you? But, anyway, so, but you know, I just want to wish a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody who listens to us. We appreciate you and all you guys have given to this podcast in the past year. This is a great time of year. I mean, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, this is a great time of year. You know, we hope you enjoy the time with your friends and your family. Get some time to relax because our culture is just all too busy. You know, just enjoy yourself. Have a nice cup of cocoa. If you're an adult, have a nice adult beverage, you know, whatever you want. But
spice up your cocoa with something.
Right, exactly. put something in your blue milk. I just want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And, it's been a great year and looking forward to 2013 and all that it holds for this galaxy far, far away.
Yay.
So that's my little spiel.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 40, A Wampa Winter Wonderland. I am, as always, Jason. And for Carl, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, very Happy New Year. And we will see you in 2013 here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hello and welcome everybody to another fan film feature. I am Robert of Crossed Sabers Reviews, and today I'm going to review an old school Star Wars fan film, Ryan vs. Dorkman, or RVD. Ryan vs. Dorkman was first uploaded to YouTube in 2006 and features Ryan Weber in a lightsaber battle against Michael Dorfman Scott. These two are rival effect artists, and their YouTube write-up suggests they originally created the video for the Force.net's forum lightsaber choreography competition. With almost 6 million views so far on YouTube, this is a pretty popular film. Let me begin by saying there is a website for this film at www.ryanvsdorkman.com where you can download the first and also the second film, as well as read up on the frequently asked questions such as, did you guys have any martial arts or sword training when you made this? I'm not going to answer this question for you. Go to the website if you want that answer. Instead, let me talk about my impression of the film. First of all, I like this short film. It's basic. It's simple. There really is no story to it, but it is a lot of fun to watch. You can search YouTube, Vimeo, or other video sites and find thousands, if not more, of lightsaber battles, with everything from broomsticks to full effects. Hey, even the artist, Joe Hogan, has a lightsaber battle video on his website. However, Ryan vs. Dorkman is very different. You can see that they really put a lot of effort into this film. They even seem to be using variations of different lightsaber techniques. Ryan seems to be the good guy with the blue-bladed lightsaber, and Dorkman is the bad guy with a yellow-bladed lightsaber. And watching the film, I get the impression that Dorkman's fighting style is very much like Darth Vader, one-handed with almost minimal effort. He even force pushes Ryan away when he is attempting to grab his own downed lightsaber at one point. The pair fight, they kick, they punch, they even cross blades while lying down on the ground. But when Dorkman loses his glasses after Ryan punches him in the face, he starts to channel the dark side even more. Now, for those of you that haven't seen the film, and again, like I said, with over 6 million views, there cannot be many Star Wars fans who haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil the ending. But what I am going to be saying is that as a fan of the dark side, I must say I was very happy with the outcome of this film. So, how would I rate this film? Well, for special effects, I would rate this at easily 5 Death Stars. For story, well, there really isn't anyone, so only 2 Death Stars. But for overall, I'm going to rate Ryan vs. Dorfman as 4 Death Stars. As usual, this review is my own opinion. If you have it, either agree or disagree with the film, or with me, feel free to email me at general@crosssabersreviews.com. You can visit our website at www.crossedsabersreviews.com for a transcript of this review as well as other reviews and interviews. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you all next time on the Fan Film Feature.
That he'll burn your costume on a fuse.